services, and organizations that benefit you as a citizen of Forsyth County. Welcome to Empowering You, your host.
Good afternoon. It's Sunday and around noon here in the Triad, and that means it's time for Empowering You here on WSNC 90.5 FM with me, Alvin Atkinson. Empowering You is WSNC's public affairs program that shines a light on the great work being done by the local nonprofits, community organizations, governmental agencies, and all those who really love calling North Carolina home. Today, I always like it on the first Sunday in each month because we get to welcome guests from the city of Greensboro. And today, we are welcoming two individuals who are doing what they do to make our community all that it is. And these people are Dr. Danielle Harrison, who is the Executive Director of Guilford Workforce Development Board, and Mr. Fred Henry, the Deputy Director of that same board. Welcome to each of you.
Thank you for the invite.
Oh, you all are so smiling. It's a great day, Sunday afternoon here in the Triad. And I'm so grateful to have you because I know the importance of jobs and working and just how that actually helps individuals to feel that they are making a difference for themselves, for their family, and for the community. And so, Dr. Danielle, how shall I call you? Shall I say Dr. Harrison? Or can I say Danielle?
You can call me Danielle.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. So, Danielle, tell us about Guilford Works and what is the services or what are the services that you offer?
Great question, and it's a pleasure to be here, Alvin. Guilford Works is one of 20 workforce development boards across the state of North Carolina, and we are one of four single county workforce boards. And so we are pretty much, our oversight is of the Guilford County NC Works Career Centers. We monitor the services there, but we also provide services for two of our customers, and they are our job seekers as well as our employers. And so we pretty much connect our job seekers to training and educational opportunities through our training providers, which are the local community college, as well as four-year and other two-year institutions as well. And also, in regard to our employers, we provide labor market data, and that's something that Fred will expound on as well. But we also have, and we are the first workforce development board in North Carolina to have a registered apprenticeship program, and so Fred will talk about that as well.
Great, great. Well, I'm so glad you came along, Fred, since Danielle has really lifted up a couple of things. But I know you're going to talk about those, but I want to go into that train, you know, that train that you all do, because I saw that and I wanted to really get our audience to learn about the train. So, Fred, why don't you share that with us?
The train.
The train.
Okay. So I guess when we look at Guilford Works and what we do, Danielle mentioned we serve two customer bases. When we look at the employers and job seekers, we look at the employers being the number one customer because without them, we can't provide those job openings to these customers. So when we look at that train starts with employers and seeing what their needs are and to see if there are certain skill sets they're in need of to make sure we upskill their current workforce to fill those positions, not only for new jobs, but future jobs.
So that's the number one customer are the employers.
Correct.
And they're on the train.
They're on the train.
Now, what about the potential job seekers, the employees? Do they get on the train?
They get on the train, too, especially now because of the labor shed, the short labor market. You know, right now we're in employees' job market. So with these tight jobs openings and employers looking for all skill sets, they're driving that train right now. Okay, so because these employers are looking for skill and talent, and if you have the talent, you know, you can call them, have your own calling card as far as going to whatever employer and driving that train.
All right. Now, I'm looking for a job in Guilford County, and as you said, you're one of the few who are single county. I guess that makes you put your chest out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. But so I'm looking, how do I connect with you to actually benefit from what you're able to provide?
Great question. I'll start off by saying that we are a 24/7 operation. Wow. And the reason why I say that is because if an individual wants to connect with us, they can visit two websites. One website is www.guilfordworks.org, and that website will link that individual to available opportunities, not just locally in Guilford County, but regionally and also across the state through the NC Works database. And they can also visit www.ncworks.gov. And they can also receive information, too, about various job opportunities as well. And so we are very comprehensive. We have locations in both Greensboro and High Point. So we have two comprehensive career centers. We also have a career center that's dedicated to our young adults, 16 through 24. And we also have a mobile career center. At the end of this year, we'll have a second mobile career center, and so we deploy these out into the community, and we provide the same services that we provide within our career centers.
Wow. Great information, and I hope that our listeners are really listening to this, because this is definitely information that you can use. And so we're talking with Dr. Danielle Harrison, who is the Executive Director of Guilford Workforce Development Board, and Mr. Fred Henry, who's the deputy director. And sometimes we call it Guilford Works, you know, because that's what we do, Guilford Works.
Yes.
And I think it's great that you're here, because you can also share information about what's our market looking like in terms of the skills and openings. What's the current status?
So right now, STEM is the big code, the big name. STEM is science, technology, engineering, math.
Okay.
And that's in demand. It's been in demand. And a lot of folks are looking for those skill sets, especially when you look across the board as education, healthcare, aviation, and manufacturing, and even transportation logistics. So when we look at Guilford Works as far as our primary industry sectors, we start with the manufacturing. We start with aviation, healthcare, transportation logistics, because based off labor market information and that data, we project the highest paying jobs to come within those industry sectors.
Okay, then we know the STEM industry, that's the market. And are there examples of the kinds of courses or programs or even partners that you're utilizing to help individuals prepare, qualify for those jobs?
Yes. Yeah, so Danielle mentioned the community college is one of the partners. So Guilford Technical Community College, we sponsor students there. We have students at Forsyth Tech and some of the other triad area colleges, but also universities. And then we have work with our private training vendors when we look at occupations such as trucking, even credentials such as IT, and even the craft skill trades. So these are just some of the areas, and allied health is real big when you look at the physical therapists, the certified medical technicians, and then even setting aside those allied when you look at registered nurses. Those are in-demand trades.
Oh, wow, yeah, the nursing shortage just seems to continue. It seems to be no end. And I guess then one of the questions I would ask is, it's not just about the job, you know, it's about the person, and there are other skills and services that you're able to offer individuals. Can you tell us some about that, Danielle?
Sure. And so, again, our primary customers is the job seeker as well as the employer, right? And so we understand that individuals who come to us, that they may have some barriers, additional barriers other than employment. And so we operate under a one-stop shop. And so in our comprehensive career centers, we have partners. That includes the community college that Fred just mentioned. We also partner with the Guilford County School System. We partner with the Health and Human Services, Social Services, as well as Public Health. We have New Haven, which is a behavioral and/or mental health organization within our career centers. We have senior resources for individuals who may be 65 plus. We also have juvenile justice there. So we like to help and prevent our young adults as well as our our youth to get back on track. So, you know, just in case that they may have, you know, ran into some issues with the criminal justice system, that we can prevent them from going back, but also help them reach their own success. So those are some partners that we have within our career centers. But in addition to that, we do provide services for adults, dislocated workers, veterans. We have veteran services within our career centers, and we have programming specifically for those who are transitioning out of active service back into the community.
Great.
And so we also have a Fresh Start initiative where we help individuals who may be immigrants or those who may be judicially impacted, the reentry population, and we'll have expungement clinics. Just 2 months ago, we had an expungement workshop. We partnered with a local law agency, and there were 300 charges expunged.
Wow.
From that one event. And so we do a lot. We do a lot of impactful work, but we provide services for everyone.
Hmm. Wow. Now, see, you know, that reentry is a special place. And I know, Danielle, you've had some real experience in working in that space. And I think the workforce role that you have with that is really a key to helping individuals have that second chance. And I think one of the things that comes out of that is once someone has benefited, they become a part of your team. They begin championing what you're doing and helping to spread the word. And I would imagine that is something that you try to help create this sort of community. And Fred, give us some more examples of where you've actually feel that you have had some impact already.
Yeah, so when we look at that particular population, Danielle mentioned the Fresh Start Initiative. We hosted employability workshops, so helping those individuals create resumes, work on those elevator skills, interviewing skills, how to present yourself as far as apparel and so forth, and what it is like in the day of an employer, so you can kind of speak to them and know what to expect. So those workshops we provide for them really helps them prepare for some of the hiring events that we host when we partner with the employers to connect. Again, because the labor shortage, employers are looking for creative ways to connect with populations. And now they're taking second looks at this particular population. And there's a lot of talent here, but we just need to make sure they're prepared, not only with the soft skills, but also those technical skills.
Wow, absolutely. And I think when you said you expunged 320 individuals, that's like a new life for them to be able
yes.
to have an opportunity to start again. And I think this holistic approach that you take means that you're doing more than just getting a job, helping an employer to find an individual. There's more to your work. Give us a little more why that positive impact that you're having as public servants in the workforce arena.
Yeah, I think when you look at that holistic approach, and folks are coming from different situations where they're impacted through layoffs, closing, or just other hardships, you have to make sure that those life things are taken care of, because if not, they're going to go to an employer and it's not going to benefit them. And it may prevent them from getting employment or keeping employment. So we can address some of those other things as far as transportation, health situations, and just family or dependent needs. Then it puts them in a better spot.
Absolutely. And I think one thing, too, I know we're in a political season and things are happening now. But there are some myths about the public workforce system. Can you dispel some of them, Danielle? What are some of the myths?
Some of the myths are, just as you just mentioned, we don't just put people into work, right? Mm. We serve the underemployed as well as the employed and the unemployed. Mm. And so what we do know is that COVID-19 taught us who the actual essential workers are. They aren't just individuals who are police officers and firefighters, and because they are, in fact, essential workers, but they're also individuals who work in hospitality, who work in the grocery stores, in the restaurants, because they had to work no matter what. And so what we want to do is make sure that that we, as public servants, that we understand and we identify, you know, those talent gaps. How can we provide opportunities and pathways for success for individuals who may be in the hospitality industry or who may, you know, want to work in healthcare, so on and so forth? And so it being political season, right? We know that the essential worker, we know that the marginalized communities, which are communities that we provide services for, which are the communities that we receive federal funding to help them eliminate some of their barriers. And so we are unique. Although we are City of Greensboro employees, we are federally funded through the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. And that piece of legislation, it provides opportunities for those adults, dislocated workers, for young adults, veterans, so on and so forth. And so we have to make sure that we are providing opportunities, equitable opportunities for these populations. And so these pieces of legislation that may reauthorize this particular act, they are currently, you know, with Congress. And if it changes, then that actually will change our allocations and our funding. And if the funding is reduced, then that means that we will not be able to provide some of the opportunities that we currently provide. And so we, as a workforce board, we took it upon ourselves to diversify our funding. And so now we are almost 50-50 split. You know, 50% of our budget is federally funded through that one act, but we also wanted to make sure that if, you know, whomever, you know, gets into whatever office, if things change, that we can still provide services through additional funds. And so it's very important for us as public servants to understand the importance of our work, but also to create opportunities outside of our traditional funding streams, so that way we can continue doing the work that we do.
Wow.
To piggyback on that, the other piece is that folks think we just serve just blue-collar or non-professional jobs. Mm-hmm. But through our dislocated work and fundings, we serve across the board. So you're a dislocated worker, whether you work frontline, whether it's hospitality or manufacturing, or you the president of the company, if you've been displaced, you're a dislocated worker. So those individuals can be served, and we're here to support them. And I think the other thing is we're not an entitlement program. So there are things that we have to work on when folks come in here. We have to show there's a case for these training or whatever that connection is with our system so we can help them move to the next level.
Okay. Now, you're going to have to help me a little bit. When you say entitlement, I get confused. What does that mean by an entitlement?
A lot of times individuals or even people think that because, you know, certain taxes are going towards certain occupations or certain programs, that they automatically get it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's not like that. So normally when they meet with our workforce professionals, there's a case to be made. There's a skills gap that needs to be addressed to receive training to help them get the employment. But if you may come into our system and you may have all this necessary in-demand skills, let's help you get directly and connect you to a job directly without those training scholarships because someone else can need those more.
Got it. Now, can you give me a sense of how many individuals you might be working with in your Gifford Works? Danielle, who's going to tell me the numbers?
We both can, and I'll just start off. I'll start off by saying that last program year, we provided over 145,000 services to individuals in our community. We had roughly 14,000 that we did actually see within our career centers.
Yeah, and we served over 1,200 businesses and provided over 15,000 services to those businesses. And I guess about 5,000 plus connected to employment coming through our system.
Great. And that's impact. That is what I'm talking about. I'm glad you're able to share those numbers, because that's how you make a community great, that you are able to really be a part and support individuals who have a need. And I'm glad you're able to share those numbers. And I know you're going to go through the roof this year because, well, the need is still there. And I know the economy and all that's out there. But you mentioned something about the political landscape. And again, for our audience, we're talking to Dr. Danielle Harrison, who is the executive director of the Guilford Workforce Development Board, along with Fred Henry, who is the deputy director. And I guess I want to know, how can individuals, how can we support and be a part of your work? How can we do? And I know, vote for the right people who support what you do, you know, get out and vote. But how else can individuals support the great work you're doing?
Well, and I'll start off and I'll say I'm speaking as the executive director of the Workforce Development Board in Guilford County, but also as the president of the Triad National Forum for Black Public Administrators. And so I will say that, for one, we have to do our research. We have to have an understanding of, you know, who is actually running for office. But we also need to make sure that we understand what the needs are of our community. Fred talked about all of these barriers that some of our job seekers have. And so who actually understands what those barriers are, and what impact, positive impact, can these people make for our community? And so, one, we have to do our research. Two, we have to understand what those needs are of the community, and then have a connection with whomever is running with that community, and it, making sure they have an understanding of what those barriers and what those needs are. And then also giving back, right? We cannot, you know, for myself and even Fred, our philosophy is that, you know, we are in the business of developing people, right? We like to help individuals reach their own success. And in order for us to do that, we have to be able to interact. We have to be in the community. We have to meet people where they are. And so by us doing that, we can, one, identify, you know, what their needs are, but two, have relationships. Building relationships can help with positive impacts as well. So that's what I'll say. And Fred, I'll, you know, pass it on to you.
Yeah, so I think the other piece to add to it, collaboration and partnerships, is real crucial with what we do, not only with the job seekers, but even when we look at the business community. Now, if you want to help our system, especially with our corporate partners, you know, there's a way that Dr. Harrison mentioned with that diverse funding. If there are ways to help provide, I guess, scholarships or funding to your local workforce boards, it helps us serve more people across the board without narrowing the restrictions at some of our other funding sources. But we look for those corporate partners and organizations out in the community to partner with, especially when we're trying to reach hard to serve populations that they may have their hands on. And then we look for volunteers, whether you're individual, corporation, organization, we're here to serve.
Great. Well, we're going to continue more with our guest today after we return from a short break here on WSNC 90.5 FM and Empowering You. To Empowering You with me, Alvin Atkinson, and our guests from Guilford, the city, Greensboro. We have Dr. Danielle Harrison, who's the executive director of the Guilford Workforce Development Board, and Mr. Fred Henry, who's the deputy director of Guilford Works, which is the Guilford Workforce Development Board. We were talking about the great work that you're doing, and I think we sort of didn't really talk about how you support the employers with your services, because as you said, they're number one, and we have to support them because they make it possible for all of our community to be able to be positive contributors to the economy. So how do we do that?
Yeah, so one of the things we really focus on is industry engagement or sector engagement with our local employers and industry leaders as far as finding out their needs. So we look at those workforce needs, those skill sets, and we convene resources, whether education providers, to kind of hear what those employers are saying, because without their feedback on what's needed as far as those technical skills, as far as soft skills and so forth, it's hard for them to build curriculums. to fill, at least upskill individuals to fill these seats. The ideal for us is for us to help someone upskill, train, connect to employment, but it's based off that employer's needs. Because we can train all day, but if it's not in demand, they're still sitting here. We still need to connect them to employment. So we start with those employers. We work closely with our economic development stakeholders. We assist them in what we call prospect visits, and that's really just sitting at the table with a potential company that may be coming into the area, and we're sharing with them how we can assist them with recruitment and provide workforce intelligence such as labor market information, and to support them if they choose North Carolina or choose to try it or Guilford County to bring their resources and jobs to. But also we want to assist our existing businesses as far as retaining them, because, you know, the Toyotas and the Booms and all these companies are here, and we have existing companies that are concerned that they may lose talent to these individuals. So how can we support them in making sure that their needs are met? Because we want to keep them here also.
Absolutely. And also, I was wanting to get a sense of just the staff. How many folks are employed and working and being giving of themselves for the community? What does that look like?
Sure. So we are a unique system because we do have our City of Greensboro staff, which we have roughly 20 of City of Greensboro staff. That includes me and Fred. But we're also considered board staff. So we are governed by a board of directors. And so there are roughly 23 individuals on our board. But also we manage the career centers that I spoke about earlier. And we have roughly maybe 50 individuals within the career centers that we either contract through or they are partners. And so we monitor the services of roughly those 50, but we also have 20 that we have on our board staff, and then we're governed by a 23-person board of directors, as well as, you know, those individuals within our city manager's office and our workforce consortium, which is the Guilford County manager, their county commissioners, City of High Point, and the City of Greensboro.
Wow, that's a lot to keep up with.
It is.
A lot of bosses.
Wow. But I think it also points to how important everyone sees the role of the workforce system and what it does, that everyone wants to really be a part of it and help it to be successful. And I think we mentioned earlier in the first segment about the apprenticeship program. And I sort of, you know, that Donald Trump apprenticeship thing sort of came to my mind. So I want to put that out and let us talk about a real apprenticeship program.
Yes. So when we talk about the apprenticeship and we talk about other work-based learning programs, that includes on-the-job training, it includes mentoring or work experience or internships. The key with the apprenticeship is it's a win-win basically across the board. So when we look at an apprentice, it's an individual we can help come in to our system to help partner with an employer, because, again, it starts with that employer agreeing to be that employer partner to provide that apprenticeship opportunity, that they work close with organizations like Apprenticeship NC or other training providers to provide some type of development plan for this individual. So we work with that individual. They come to our system. We connect them, whether it's through a pre-apprenticeship to kind of prep them for an apprenticeship. They interview after that pre-apprenticeship opportunity with a potential employer for their apprenticeship. If that employer interviews them and brings them in and say, hey, we want to bring them in as an apprentice, they're employed. That's employment. And at the same time, they're getting we provide scholarships. They help them with their instruction-related classroom areas as far as those scholarships. But we also provide subsidies for the employer to offset those hiring costs. Oh. So it's a win-win. So they're learning as they earn. Employee gets someone that they can develop based off their individual customized needs. And we're getting the placement and help upskill those individuals at the same time through an apprenticeship.
Wow. I see why you all are smiling when you talk about the apprenticeship.
Yes. Win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing that I wanted to sort of lift up here is you have been, Fred, in workforce development a few years longer than Danielle.
He's
been around a long time.
But try to get a sense as to where we think workforce development is going over the next 5 years. How do you think it looks from where you're sitting?
Yes, I've been in workforce 20 plus years now. So I started with the state and what used to be the Employment Security Commission. And then ESC. I transitioned to ESC, exactly. Yes. It's called the Unemployment Office.
Yeah.
Right. Try to get away from that narrative, yeah, but, okay. You know, it's still stuck. Okay. But then I got connected to the city of Greensboro through, at that time, was the Workforce Investment Act, which we call it WIA. And then there was the JobLink systems. So as things change and different programs change at the federal level and in our state, probably about three governors ago, they rebranded JobLink and what used to be ESC under now NC Works. And that transition helped with the new federal dollars, which is the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. And it kind of changed the paradigm. It's still the same with the one-stop shop. But I think COVID, as Dr. Harrison mentioned, changed things, really. Okay, because we're very intentional as far as serving those marginalized communities. But when the doors were shut due to COVID, we had to do the outreach. So at that time, we was able to procure our first mobile career center. And folks do not come into the doors like they used to pre-COVID. So we're trying to reach folks where they are. So when we look at the not only now but the future, how can we collaborate and meet these individuals where they are, whether they'll pop up or satellite locations, mobile centers, virtual phones or whatever. We just have to be creative with our approach to meeting them, but also our business community.
Great, great. Now, again, we're talking with Danielle Harrison and Fred Henry of the Workforce Development Board, or Guilford Works, and they're giving great information about what the workforce system has been doing in Guilford County. In fact, they're doing such great work that we wanted to let you hear how you can get connected to them again. So please share, how can individuals or companies reach out and get involved in the great work that you're doing?
Sure. You can reach us by visiting our website. It's www.guilfordworks.org. You can also visit www.ncworks.gov. You can also visit the City of Greensboro's website, as well as the Guilford County, North Carolina website, and even the City of High Point as well, because we serve Guilford County in its entirety.
Okay, great. Now, I didn't give you an opportunity to answer about the next 5 years. What do you see in the trends for workforce system?
I definitely see more virtual services. And as Fred mentioned, COVID-19, it taught us how to pivot. And also, we understand that we are in a digital age, right? But what happens if technology goes out? And so right now, artificial intelligence is one of those areas where it is that we see an uptick, right? But we also understand some of the errors and things that can occur with technology. And so we know that we have to still be able to instill some of those job readiness and human resource development, those skill sets that allows individuals to be able to communicate effectively no matter what. We want our job seekers to, have an understanding of our technology and how to utilize it, because that is very important. But we also know that when that technology, if it doesn't work for whatever reason, that we still need to be able to communicate. And so how do we make sure that we are providing, both skill sets? And so I want to make sure that our workforce system can still do that, provide those opportunities for those individuals who want to come to the Career Center, but also provide opportunities for those who are just wanting to interact virtually as well. So I do see us being out in the community more. I do see us definitely helping to diversify our workforce. Fred mentioned science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We want to make sure that we see female pilots, that we see male nurses, that we see females in advanced manufacturing, female engineers. We have the number one HBCU in North Carolina, but we are also here on Winston-Salem State State University's campus as well. And we want to make sure that we are promoting and creating opportunities for success for individuals who look like me, who look like you and Fred, and others as well. So that's what I see within our workforce system, just making sure that we are providing those equitable opportunities, no matter one's gender, no matter one's race, no matter the occupation, but just making sure that we are helping people reach their own success, no matter if it's in person or virtually.
Wow, you got that down pat. That's great. I see why you're the executive director. Now, Fred, you blew my mind a little bit, because I'm almost in that senior citizen category, and you used some terms that I was familiar with, like job link, and you said all that stuff has changed now. And I know some of our listening audience are just like me. Give us some of the new efforts that sort of replace our now how you're actually doing your work, because it's different now. The names have changed. And I remember WIA. Is that still? No, WIA has gone too?
No, it's WIOA. Yeah. So, I mean, the concept is still the same. It's a more of an emphasis now with the collaboration with economic development. When we look at the workforce boards and those economic development stakeholders, as far as the industry sectors and bringing in those companies and jobs and things of that nature. The one-stop concept is still there, but the merger between what used to be ESC, which is now the Department of Workforce Solutions, and what used to be the JobLink is now under that umbrella of the NC Works. So we still have those different partners. We still have other partners. And the partnerships, you have the base partners, whether it's through the state, DWS, the local boards, and then the community college and even the K-12 systems. But other partners can change depending on the local areas that you're working with. So things with this are still bottom up when we talk about the boards. Mm-hmm. The boards provide oversight for their one-stop centers, meaning NC Works. Even though the dollars come from the Department of Labor through the state's Commerce Department to the local boards. But the boards provide that oversight, and it's from top,
from bottom up,
instead of what the state used to be, ESC, was from state down.
Now, I like that, because the boards still have influence on what happens in the districts or areas. And that's still the same.
Hopefully that'll stay that way too.
Yeah. But and so while all of these things are really sort of an evolution, it really is that same principle. The employer and the employee, potential employee, what can we do to help bring them together so that our community can really flourish? Well, are there any other comments or areas that you would want to lift up to share with the audience?
I think Dr. Harris mentioned our apprenticeship program. So it's called Gear Up.
Gear Up.
Gear Up ASAP, which is the Adult Specialized Apprenticeship Program.
I thought ASAP.
We need you now. Employers need you right now. Okay. So we're looking for employer partners. Again, it starts with the employer providing that apprenticeship opportunity. You can reach out to us through our websites that Dr. Harrison mentioned, but we want to start with them to kind of see what their needs are. And it's customized based off those needs. And then we recruit that talent to build those pipelines.
So then I imagine your chamber, a good part, just really, because in that apprenticeship, getting more. And so business owners, so you're listening, let's connect with them that we can give these places and opportunities to our residents. Danielle, any other comment you might want to add?
You just mentioned something very important, and we highlighted this at the very beginning of this conversation when we talked about what workforce development really encompassed. And so it's important that, everyone understands, especially our employers and our community, that workforce development and economic development, they are both very important, but also somewhat different entities. We in workforce development, we work with our economic development partners to, ensure that we continue to nourish our business relationships and also economic development. As Fred mentioned, they actually bring the employers to the community, and they may provide them with incentives. But once they are here, there's that handoff, and we take it from there, and we help that employer to build their workforce. And so I just want to make sure that, you know, if there are any employers out there and they're wanting to, you know, improve and enhance their workforce, you know, due to these trends that we, you know, have forecasted, feel free to reach out to us, because we are here and we are happy and we are ready to help.
And when you look at that, so those prospect, those visits that we receive, everybody's giving incentives across all state scenarios. Okay. But then when they look at the top one or two things, it's workforce, talent. That's the final decision. If they have the talent, the workforce, it adds to the incentives, because then they can get up and moving quickly.
Well, and I think when you said you have all these bosses that are, I think they recognize that and why they want to have influence over what you do, but also to support what you do. And I want to just thank you for coming and being a part of our conversation here today on Empowering You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. And yes, it was full of information on how we can be the best community that we can by working together. Please join us again next Sunday at noon for another edition of Empowering You here on WSNC 90.5 FM. Until then, do have a great week.